Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Joel Dean's an author, a writer, a speaker. He's just written some fabulous books.
And he's lost his Saturday Magazine cherry last time.
He has to. G'day, Joel. How are you this morning?
Good, thanks, Tess. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. We were particularly wanting to have a conversation with you this morning about what's occurring in the US around the American presidential race. But before we do that, what are your views about freedom of speech?
Freedom of speech is a very good question. It's fundamental to our democracy, but it doesn't mean that you get the chance to put it crudely, shit can all and sundry. It goes to rights and responsibilities, doesn't it? I have a right to free speech. I do not have a right to denigrate others. Mm. It's about that balance, striking that balance. And there's a lot of people who seem to think that free speech means they can. Vilify others, and that's not free speech, that's vilification.
It also feels like that people think that free speech means that they need to have a platform on a range of issues they know nothing about, which doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think that goes to a related point for me, in that we seem to be in this really dangerous era of feelings overwhelming fact, where people we're getting really tribal, and people are saying, feel free to say anything that they want, because and they feel it to be right, therefore it is right. You can see that in the rise of Trump, in the rise of Hansen, in a lot of the really bizarre, sort of pseudo facts that get bandied about by people and believed, and by a lot of really wingnuts who seem to glom together through social media.
Are you worried about the US election? I'm seeing Hillary's not getting a lot of traction. She's lost her lead in a lot of the polls.
Yeah.
Of course, what is working in his favour in against Trump is that Roger Ailes has left Fox. But incidentally, everyone, there's a great article on Vanity Fair online. Read it. Fantastic.
All right.
But are you worried, Joel, that, the Donald might get that, that raccoon on his head over the line?
I am not worried. I'm terrified.
Terrified.
To be honest.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Nate Silver who I'd really recommend you reading. He's written a book called The Signal and the Noise, and he's a statistician. He aggregates polls and has called accurately, umpteen elections over the last 5 years or so. And his point that he's made is that Clinton is ahead, but not by enough. And it's going to be very close. And I think he's right. When you look at the numbers, there are not many things need to go wrong for her to be on the wrong side of that magical number that she needs to get the presidency. So yes, we are in the final run home, and a lot of it is going to come down to chance now, because anything can happen, and there's no room for error. And Trump is, he has defied gravity for so long, and there is so much anger. I mean, this is the other thing, is that economic injustice in America, which has really been a huge issue since 1980 with Reaganomics, has created an underground economy. It turned this into America into a first and third world nation, and now we're seeing this reaction against it. So one injustice is creating this. This much greater injustice, and the potential for America to really become this post-democratic country. This may sound over the top, but it's not. The potential for America to become this post-democratic nation is is there.
I'm very nervous now, yeah. Joel.
I understand the extremes in both camps, not to say I relate to their perspectives necessarily, but it's the swing I don't get. I don't understand this middle ground that could change the election result with such dramatically different outcomes. Can you explain that to me?
Well, I mean, the thing to understand is that America is not one country but several countries. Mm. And, you know, and there is... And if you look at, you know, obviously you have the East and the West Coast, and you have, you know, sort of pockets of real sort of, you know, I used to live in San Francisco in the Bay Area, you know, and the same as with New York as well. These are atypical, mm. you know. Then you have the rest of America, which is, you know, you have a lot of poverty, a lot of places which are really were booming during the industrial. You know, the industrial era of American industry in the mid 20th century, and so it's really just a country that's held together by a myth, and a lot of people are no longer buying the myth.
Mm.
So this is what happens then? Well, it starts to, you know, the empire starts to pull itself apart, and it's becoming tribal, very very much so, and I just. You know, I mean, you know, race has always been an issue in America. It's, you know, it's that's not going away. And, you know, and the thing about Clinton is that she's a woman and she's very, very, you know, very much, the first presidential candidate in a long time who's really qualified for the job in a way that Barack Obama was not, in that she knows how the machine works.
Mm.
But she's also part of the, you know, there's this American democracy has become an oligarchy.
Mm.
You know, the Bush family, the Clinton family. You know, this is, you know, that have ruled the roost there for so long. And so she's also part of the elite. And this is part of the problem that she's got. She's not seen, and nor is she, part of mainstream America.
In a lot of ways, into the people that she's trying to appeal to, she's not seen as authentic, is she?
No. And, you know, and so this is the problem. I was thinking early on that, perhaps, you know, Trump is a blessing for Clinton because she wouldn't get elected with any other opposition.
Yeah.
But, you know, perhaps Clinton is a blessing for Trump. You know, this is, you know, it's going to only history will tell, and I really hope that my grave concerns are for naught and that Clinton wins. You know, I'm about to go and I'm going to spend next 3 to 4 weeks in San Francisco, and I'll be catching up with old friends, and it'll be really interesting to see what the politics are like there. But again, Northern California is very, very different to the rest of America.
Sorry, one quick thing, Joel. Then Amy's got a question. How important is the Libertarian candidate going to be in stealing votes from either candidate? Is it going to be a deal breaker like Ross Perot was?
Could be, yeah. I mean, because I'm sure your listeners are aware that it's not a proportional system there.
No.
It's first past the post, so any vote that the third candidate gets, you know, they are effectively stealing from other people. As well, it's voluntary voting, so maybe people can. Yeah, it's hard to tell, but I mean, the other thing is that, you know, Ralph Nader also may well have been the difference between Gore becoming president in 2000. So there are these. Yeah, it's a wild card. And we won't. And the other thing is the way the Americans count votes, the system is they don't have an Australian Electoral Commission like we do here. It's done, you know, every county is different.
Yeah.
So it's a really it's a very very dysfunctional democratic system that they have. And you know, I think the University of Columbia did a study of American democracy a year or so ago, and they came to the conclusion that America was no longer a functioning democracy. And I think this is mm-hmm. it's about money, it's about oligarchy, and it's about local level a corrupting either through, you know, a rusting of the system or by sort of partisan sort of injections into the system at a counting level. So it's very very it's a system that's really open for abuse.
Mm. Well, that maybe makes my next question a bit of a moot point, but I'm wondering about the motivations behind the people's optional vote in America. I'm a US citizen. I have dual citizenship because my mum's American. She's from California.
Right.
And where listeners might not be aware that in some states, if you have proven heritage from that state, you can vote from Australia. Mm. So I can hop on and register to vote, which I certainly will be looking into because I'm so anti-Trump. I'm wondering if, Joel, in your view, are you more likely to get a good turnout at the polling booths over there if there is sort of somebody that they're actively trying to keep out of office?
I mean, Trump is such a unique candidate. I think we'll only know afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the problem with American, it's a Tuesday, but it's not like a weekend here. It's really it's hard to, if you are, it's made really difficult for a lot of people, particularly from ethnic communities or African American communities to even register. So, the turnout's going to be a big, big deal. I mean, in some election years, non-presidential election cycles. The turnout's in the 30s, again, 30-odd percent. So it's who turns up is who wins. That'll be the big question
for me. And for the parties also, Joel, it's, the organisation about getting the votes out. And this is where I think Hillary might have an advantage, certainly the Democratic machine. The Republican machine is not currently, though I see Ted Cruz has decided he's going to vote for Donald, but the organisation on the ground is really important in getting the vote out, particularly amongst those, older, younger, in minorities. Getting the vote out is really, really important, isn't it?
That's right. And the other question is, how angry are people? How disenfranchised do people feel?
Yeah.
And who are they looking to punish and blame? It just feels like a really punitive election, and campaign and terrible. And it's, again, you think of Brexit, you think of that, the anger that sort of is really driving the Hanson sort of bandwagon. This is a global phenomenon. And the question for me is, how far behind is Australia, and how long till we face a similar, reckoning?
I think we're well on that road. Do you think, Joel, that let's have a hypothetical that Hillary Clinton wins, might only be by 0.5%, whatever, but she wins the presidency. Do you think that Trump, Trump's going to say it's a fraud, but his supporters, do you think, America is in a, in terms of police shootings and race relations, is in a pretty bad place. Do you think there's going to be trouble if Hillary wins, that Trump's supporters are going to lose it?
Yeah, I go back to Nate Silver. He has a term he uses, which is probabilistic thinking, looking at all the numbers and looking at the probabilities. The probabilities are absolutely. Given how the way that these campaigns, the Trump campaign has been driven, the what it's brought together, how it's brought everything. It's really he's brought the blood up. And this is, Americans are no better nor worse than Australians, but there aren't. There is a very real chance of violence. The other thing is, it's a country of 250 million people, so you only need a handful of absolute nut jobs for the whole show to go on.
Joel, you've been incredibly pessimistic this morning. Do you have any glimmers of light for us?
It's my nature. I'm sorry.
Well, I've always thought of you as being quite an optimistic person, but there you go. I mean, it just concerns me that we're going to have an absolute nutcase. Am I allowed to say that on air? An absolute nutcase. Yeah, I know. An absolute nutcase with his finger on the button. That really makes me nervous. Really, really nervous. Makes you nervous as well, does it, Amy?
I was just pointing out that you said nutcase three times.
Yeah. Oh, okay, right.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry I brought down the levels.
It wasn't. It's been like this all morning.
but look, the thing is that he's unfit for the job. And the other thing to keep in mind is an Australian Prime Minister has immense domestic power and minimal foreign power, international power. An American President has really limited domestic power.
But huge,
international power. So if Trump is elected, he's our problem.
Yeah.
You know, this is to just add pessimism to pessimism.
But Joe Hockey's over there covering for us. It'll be fine.
We're all okay.
Settle down, you lost.
It'll be fine. When you're in the States, Joel, we'd love to have a chat to you about how it is. But you need to find some good old boys to have a chat to, because California, as you know, it's not how it's like in the rest of the place.
Well, now that we know that you're away for 3 weeks, Joel, we're going to make sure that we contact you, certainly by the time you get back, to have another debrief and share some of your observations and learnings while you're over there.
Look forward to it.
Fabulous. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Before you go, have you got another book coming out that we need to promote?
Oh, no, I've got a collection of poetry, Year of the Wasp, came out a few months ago, and I need to write the difficult third novel next year.
Fantastic.
I'll get on that next year.
Look out for it, Joel Dean. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.